Thank you, Esther. That was great. Our scripture reading this morning is from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convicting proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by him. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Hear what the Spirit's saying to us today.
So Brent told me to wait for three Mississippis before I started talking. So thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to come before you. I wrote in my notes, I take this pulpit today with a sense of overwhelming gratitude and honor. And maybe I should say, I take this music stand today with an overwhelming sense of gratitude and wonder. I am so grateful for God, and I am grateful for the healing work that God has been doing in my life over the last 14 months, and I am so grateful to you, the community of Living Spirit. 461 days ago today, at a church 2 miles from here, I preached for the last time. It was the last time I preached. And over the last 14 months, I have wondered if God would ever give me the opportunity to stand before a body of believers and preach. And so it's a gift for me to be able to stand in front of you today. This Sunday is known as Ascension Sunday. It's a Sunday that for early Christians, and even for early Methodists, which there's about 1,700 years between the early Christians and the early Methodists, but for both of those groups, Ascension Sunday was one of the main holidays of the Christian year, one of the main days that we celebrated. And this story, as we heard both in the children's message and in the scripture reading, it's about 40 days after Easter. So Jesus has died, Jesus has risen, and he's been living on earth for 40 days in this resurrected body. And now he is taken up into a cloud into heaven. And he's left the disciples with a really odd instructions. He said, wait. Wait in Jerusalem. And he promises them that they will be witnesses. And so today I want to share a story of how God was working 2,000 years ago in the lives of those disciples, but also the story of how God has been working in my life over the last 14 months, and also how I see God working in this community in Living Spirit. I told Richard on the way over here, my sermon ended up, I've never preached a sermon like this before, but my sermon ended up being a combination of my personal testimony and a love letter to you, Living Spirit. So I'm in the habit of praying before I preach, and so if you would just join me in just one more prayer before I go on. Gracious God, thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Thank you for the gift of this community and for the gift of how you work in individual lives and in the lives of communities. Be with us this morning as we unpack your word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So a year and a half ago, I knew what God was going to do in my life. I was working for a church, I was in seminary, and I was pursuing certification as a certified candidate for elder in the United Methodist Church. My plan was that I would finish up seminary 2 weeks ago, I would have graduated, and then in 3.5 weeks, I would have been commissioned with Dana at annual conference. I knew what God was going to do in my life a year and a half. However, that's not what happened. And 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, his friends are enjoying a picnic on the Mount of Olives with Jesus. And this place must be filled with memories for them, because just 47 days earlier, Jesus had Jesus had rode on a donkey down that mountain into the city of Jerusalem. People wave. I'm really struggling with my past tense verbs this morning. Thank you. People were waving palm branches, shouting Hosanna. 43 days ago, Jesus had been on that mountain with the disciples praying in agony that this cup might pass from him. So here they are on this mountain that has so many meaningful memories for them and for their community, and they know what God is going to do. This is the time. They ask Jesus, "Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Jerusalem?" In the disciples' minds, they knew what God was going to do. He was going to reestablish a political kingdom in Jerusalem. And because they were among the 12 disciples, maybe they'd get a sweet position in the administration. Secretary of Education, Assistant Undersecretary to the Messiah, Vice President. Jesus responds with this confusing set of words. "It is not for you to know the times nor the dates that the Father has established. Wait for it in Jerusalem." And it wasn't for me to know the times or the dates that the Father had established in my life either. I had a plan. I knew what I was going to do. I knew what God was going to do. On February 16th of 2016, I went for my initial district committee on ordained ministry meeting, my first interview, to be certified for the ordination process. And when the interview was over, the committee said, "Katie, we like you, but the answer is no, not yet. Wait for it." And I was devastated. I had so much grief. And I cried, and I cried. Dana had an interview a couple hours after me, and she actually said, "Let's meet for lunch," and she let me cry. And we ate lunch together, and I cried with her, and it was beautiful, but I was so confused and so hurt. 4 days later, on February 20th, I spent the day finishing the sermon that I would preach the next morning. And that evening, Richard and I went to hear Sherman Alexie, the author, speak at Northrop Auditorium. And I was getting out of the passenger side of the car. I bumped my head just along the top and the temple and the ear. And I had a headache, but I didn't think much of it. I woke up the next morning, the headache was worse, but again, I didn't think much of it. I preached the sermon, and when I was leaving the church, I couldn't walk down the stairs. I was too dizzy to walk down the stairs. So we spent the next 12 hours in urgent care and then the emergency room. And I asked the doctor I was diagnosed with a concussion and a traumatic brain injury. And I asked the doctor, how long will it take until I feel better? And he said, it may take 10 days, it may take a year. It was not for me to know the times nor the dates that the Father had established by his own authority. 10 days, a year, wait for it. So I took the week off of work, I took the week off of class. The next week I asked for another week off and then another. Eventually I was on long-term medical leave. And I kept hoping that if I just had one more week off, I'd be healed and be able to go back to work and school. But it's not for me to know the dates nor the times that the Father had established, and so I waited for it. March came and went, April, May. Every time I visited the concussion specialist, they told me to wait. And I was waiting for something that never came. I was waiting to return to work at the church in Minneapolis, to go back to school, and to get back on track to be commissioned this summer. But it didn't happen. Just in August, just as my doctors were telling me that I could return to work part-time, the church hired a replacement for my position, and I was laid off. And I didn't understand what was happening, but it wasn't for me to know the dates nor the times. But God's promise has another line. You will be my witness. You will be my witnesses. Wait for it. The disciples were waiting for something that never came too. They were waiting for Jesus to establish a political kingdom in Jerusalem. Instead, that very day, not only does he not establish a political kingdom, he disappears. He gets taken up into a cloud. They don't see him again. And the only thing they have are the confusing instructions to wait and the promise that they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. Something happened while I was waiting to get back on my path. As part of my therapy, I was going for walks every day around the neighborhood. And while I was walking, I started noticing the flowers in my neighborhood. And I have a smartphone, and I started taking pictures with my phone. I post them on Instagram or Facebook, and people started really looking forward to seeing these flowers every day. And then some of my friends said, you know, you could print these, sell them, maybe cards or some other kind of gifty product. And I thought, why not? So I ordered some prints of my photos, I ordered some card-making supplies, and I set up an online shop, and I started doing business as an artist. The disciples didn't get what they were waiting for, but they got something that was both bigger than what they were waiting for and smaller than what they were waiting for. They wanted a political kingdom. They were waiting for a political kingdom. But what they got was a kingdom that comes through transformed hearts, lives, and communities. They didn't get to be the Secretary of the Treasury. They didn't get to be the head of the Joint Chiefs. But they got to be witnesses to a kingdom that reaches not just around Jerusalem city walls, but all of Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. I didn't get what I was waiting for, but I got something that was bigger and smaller than what I was waiting for. The day I got my letter terminating my position at the church, I received my first online sale of my art. The next week, my friend Nathan saw my flower pictures and asked me to write an article about my injury and the flowers for his online magazine. The article was so popular that Nathan asked me to be a monthly contributor to the magazine. Becoming a monthly contributor to an online magazine gave me the confidence that I could submit my writing for publication elsewhere. And this week, I got two contracts in the mail for two articles that I had written that I will be paid for the first time in my life. And so, I didn't get what I was waiting for, but I got something smaller and bigger than what I was waiting for. Last week, I met with our district superintendent, Dan Johnson, about my call to ministry. And what I explained to him about my call, and what I'll tell you right now, is that I no longer am clear about the path that God has me on, but I have never been more clear about the call that God has for me. I know that I am called to ministry. I love to preach. I love to sit with people and offer spiritual care. But I also know now that my call involves the arts and writing and caring for people on the front lines of justice. And I don't know what that path looks like, but I know what that call, Dana says deacon, and I think she's probably right. Dan, oh, can I tell you, this is just an aside. Dan, so the reason I'm at Living Spirit is both Jenny and Dana invited me here. And, you know, obviously I've known Dana for a long time. And last week when I was meeting with Dan Johnson, he was like, well, if you're considering a call to deacon, I don't know if you know Dana. But maybe you should have coffee with Dana. And I was like, Dana, the DS says we have to have coffee. We better have coffee. So, maybe not just like after church coffee, but we'll, yeah. Yeah. Now I got totally off track. There we go, we're back. No, it's okay, Danis is deacon. The passage this morning, what's hard about preaching this passage is that it's like the introduction to a great story. It's just the first 11 verses of the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is the story of the disciples going out by the power of the Holy Spirit to Jerusalem during a multicultural, multilingual, intergenerational community that was gathered there at Pentecost, to Jewish world, to Samaria, to a place where the disciples shared a common heritage with the people of Samaria, but the people of Samaria were the hated outsiders. To the ends of the earth, to people so different from us, to people so different from the disciples, that people wondered if they could ever be a part of the kingdom. It's a story of witnesses making disciples and changing lives by the power of the Holy Spirit among the disabled and the able-bodied, among sexual minorities, among people of gender differences, among people from their own ethnic group, and from among so many different ethnic groups all over the known world at that time. But first they had to wait for it, because it was not for them to know the times nor the dates. There's a challenge for us as Christians, and it's a tension that we have to be aware of the two ends of this tension. In seminary and in the mental health field, they would call it a dialectic, which is a fun word. There's one tension that we are called to wait on the Holy Spirit, to wait for God's guidance. There's another tension point that we are called to action. And as Christians, our job is to live in that tension between the contemplation and the activism, the mysticism and the waiting for the Holy Spirit, and the doing justice, the making disciples, the loving our neighbor, the sharing compassion. Our challenge is to wait, then act, then wait, then act, to keep waiting while we're acting, to keep acting while we're waiting. Richard and I weren't worshiping here at Living Spirit when the two congregations merged and you chose the name for Living Spirit, but I love that you chose that name. A beautiful name to live into, a name to name your congregation after the Living Spirit that the disciples were waiting for all those years ago, the Spirit that gives us something bigger and something smaller than we expect. And one of the reasons that we have stayed at Living Spirit, one of the things that first helped me to fall in love with Living Spirit, was your breakthrough prayer, our breakthrough prayer. God, break through my heart into the world. May your kinetic energy meet my willingness to be your hands in my neighborhood in service of something greater than I can imagine. Bless the community of Living Spirit. Equip us for your work and use us to realize your vision for the future. As I was reading the passage from Acts this week, working on this sermon, I realized what the disciples didn't know they were waiting for is exactly the prayer that we pray. We pray for a kingdom to break through, not through political systems, though God can use political systems, but through hearts. It's bigger and smaller than we could ask or imagine. This prayer that I love invites us and God to realize the vision by the power not just of Living Spirit UMC, but by the power of the Living Spirit that has a call for us and a vision for our future. I believe that Living Spirit, the Living Spirit of God, leads us in community as we pray and discern the next steps together. I believe that prayer and seeking the Living Spirit of God to call us, guide us, empower us, can transform the world. And I believe the Living Spirit of God is not just changing individual lives and healing individual lives, but is in the work of healing and transforming entire communities in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. Amen.